daughter, you granddaughter. Little darling, I say now, no. Oh, John, I said it right now. Listen, baby.
Hi, it's Shannon,
Emily,
and Hannah, and you're listening to 90.7
FM
WGXC
ACRA.
Echo,
Echo System. I'm Echo Rowe, who hosts Echo System. Echo System is a show on Saturdays from 3:30 to 4, and I talk to my friends and other kids, play music, and we learn about radio.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by the Healthcare Consortium, a rural health network dedicated to improving access to health care and supporting the health and well-being of the people in our rural community. Throughout 2018, the Healthcare Consortium will be celebrating 20 years of serving the residents of Columbia and Greene counties. To learn more about the Healthcare Consortium and its services, please visit www.columbiahealthnet.org or call 518-822-8822.
Okay, good morning. You are listening to WGXC 90.7 FM ACRA. This is Now Boarding the Travel Show with Jim and Dan. Jimmy, are you there with us? Are you there?
Dizan Novich, how are you doing today, brother?
I am great, Jimmy. This is a fantastic start. Last episode, we were going through some technical glitches, but this July 1st, the first Sunday of the month, we're hitting it out strong. I think you're like a Yankee slugger. You have just hit it out of the park, Jimmy, as you usually do. You never strike out. Sometimes you have, but most people believe that you've never.
I never have, but sometimes I have. Huh. Anyways, Dan, I'm going to relieve you of your sentencing and... Dan, happy Sunday to you on this beautiful July 1st, the best month in all of the other 12 months besides October where there's Halloween.
Jimmy,
the second best month of them.
Okay, I love the springtime. I love April. I love May. I love June. But, that doesn't mean that there can't be love extended elsewhere. And, we could speak about extending our love forever, that subject. And I think the world needs more of it, Jimmy. And I think that one way of doing it is going out and traveling, as you have done.
Amen to that, sir. Amen. I alhamdulillah, get out there, get on the plane, get in the car, get on the bicycle.
All right.
Do it.
Yeah.
Dan, by the way, I have a story. You're going to be very, very, very proud of me. I actually have some really... above and beyond LOG experience in the last week. I have to just remind me to talk to you about it at some point. I have to tell you.
Okay.
You're really going to be... Even it involves me getting on a bicycle, Dan. So, it's going to be epic when, non-motorized vehicles and myself get together.
Okay, very good. This is going to be exciting. We're going to get to that. Jimmy, before we get into much else, we have to speak about a matter of contention that you have. You want to say that you were experiencing worse than what we are experiencing here in the Hudson Valley. And as you are in Bangkok, Thailand, you say that it's more severe heat than we are experiencing here. We are projected for about a 10-day or so heat wave. I believe anytime it's above 90, it's officially categorized a heat wave. That might be different in different parts of the world.
Three days in a row above 90 is considered a heat wave.
I mean, you almost became a meteorologist, so you should know.
That's why
a few items.
Correct.
Okay, and Jimmy, it might. In the heat index, with the humidity coupled with the temperature Fahrenheit, I believe it's going to be above 100 here, which I know that you have acclimated in your climate of Bangkok and Southeast Asia to be amidst that almost yearly, but it's different when we are not entirely acclimatized to that, Jimmy. So that's my input.
Yeah, you know, I'm just wondering what you know, the heat index is here. I always know, you know, I can barely breathe when I go outside and I'm sweating. Sometimes I don't know if it's just because I'm just not fit, or I'm not fit to go outside. If I've hit that low yet or what's going on. But what I will tell you, currently right here, which is 10:05 p.m. here in Bangkok, it is heat index of 90 degrees.
Oh, that's a refresher for you.
Tense, yeah.
That's like,
yeah, tomorrow looks like we have a high of 93, although I can't seem to find the heat index. Let me see if they have it. I'm on weather.com, so
right,
I mean, obviously.
Right. While you're looking for that, I would like to share a story that came from yesterday.
Okay, sorry to interrupt you, but I'm going to, obviously, as I just did. Tomorrow, the heat index will get to 104.
Okay. All right. Which, in our terms, I mean,
and it's like, it's almost winter here now.
Yeah,
it's almost
like an 80-degree.
Summer is April.
How everyone is adjusted to that within your environment is more or less an 80-degree day for us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay.
Exactly.
Okay, Jimmy. It was so hot out. You know what? I have to change that. To some people, it was severely hot yesterday. To me, to a few others who I was working with, not so much. We are a bit more adjusted by way of what we do and way of our surrounding with given material. We have heat fomenting from that. So we are a little more adjusted than others.
You actually have some justification to complain because, you know, as you are out there laying the pavement, you know, that pavement also is, you know, not cold.
Yeah, it's about 300 degrees. However, exactly. Jimmy, let me put this into context, and this is a matter of I suppose debating what our society is, or absolute suffering experienced by some people, and they needed immediate hydration, and they had to do what they did. Okay, so you are going to get excited. Because in this story, it involves a certain character whose brother you've had, really, you came to age with. And
I already know who you're talking about.
Okay.
I have a feeling.
Okay, we have a code name for him. His name is Worm, and he worked with us yesterday. Okay?
Did he really?
Well, he more or less watched us. So officially, he didn't work with us, but he was watching. And that could be argued. But it was almost like the time that you had visited us.
I was waiting.
It was a 90-degree day, and we were doing work in a trailer park. And you looked at what's known as item 4, stone aggregate, and you just went underneath a tree for the shade. And you
now that
just
is not. I worked for like a solid, you know, 4 hours before doing that. And then it was just a matter of life or death, and I chose life under the tree, you know?
Yeah, you were as if you were in a southern chain gang. That's how you were working, and that's completely not what happened. I have to give those chain gang people credit. They swing the pick quite forcefully. And Jimmy, I have to say, you might have done a few quarter full shovels of throwing or whatever. But
that's not fair. At least
okay,
half full. It
right.
Come out my first time. Jeez,
okay,
I mean, give me some credit.
Okay, I give you credit. Okay, I give you credit. Now people are banging on the door outside. You have a following, Jimmy. Everyone knows you have a following. They never like me putting you down. So I'm always at the. I always have to check myself.
That's right. Thank you for all of our listeners who keep Dan in check. I appreciate that.
All right. So. Yes, Worm was with me, and we worked, you know, quite a long day, and we had to hydrate and replenish ourselves by way of cold drinks and getting Gatorade specifically, and we went to a given Cumberland Farms, the colloquial term for a Cumberland Farms in the
Cumbies.
Cumbies. Oh, Jimmy, you got it. Wow. Okay. Yes. Anyway, so we were in line, and there were five of us working. I got six Gatorades just in case it wasn't enough for someone. And we went a couple times to replenish ourselves, to visit Cumbie's, as you call it. And
indeed, we
were next in line. It was Worm and me, and Worm was he was saying how he liked the cashier's tattoo that she had just gotten because her sleeve was rolled up and it was the drying process, and it was Worm doing his magic, doing his kind of flirtatious demeanor. He almost did the people's eyebrow to the girl. Like he mm-hmm. was the Rock, yep. You know, you've seen that before. You've been intimidated as I have from him doing
indeed.
That. Okay. Yep. And, so before we got to the, girl, oh, and I got another story for you, Jimmy, and I have to let you know about this because, I probably shouldn't even say girl. I should say person, you know, not that, I'm just identifying her for who she is and, yeah, that's anyway, I'm sure we would be in trouble for making a
usually it's me who gets us pretty close to getting thrown off the air,
but
we can't
say,
they're the one opening the gate stand.
We can't say man, we can't say woman, we can't say we're going to be it's not possible in our day and age of our American society or our political correct culture, which we're going to we're on
open the gate stand.
We
feel
are
free,
on the
just
meter
let them
of violation because of all that we've probably offended. But that is okay. We're going to be who we are, Jimmy. We're going to specifically,
as we said five and a half years ago when we started, we are who we are, and we will not toe the line. We will walk that thin wire.
All right.
On the top of a 50-story building.
Bill O'Reilly, Jimmy. You're a cultural warrior. Okay. That's what I have to say. Anyway, so we're about to pay. We're the next ones in line. And before we got into Cumberland Farms, I saw on the Cumbie's advertisement to the side, one of those kind of makeshift advertisements, the Big Freeze, which is a like a slushie that they I'm not sure if that's the actual term. It could be something else. Sometimes they say Slurpee, but I think it was going by Big Freeze, and I'll have to be checked. That's most likely not the term, but you understand what I'm saying. That was the drink that they were advertising. It was like a 24-ounce concoction of ice and blue 40, yellow, red, whatever those dyes are,
miraculous.
Infused with all the sugar that you could have between here and I guess the Domino's factory in Baltimore, Maryland. But anyway,
wow.
Jimmy, Worm and I were about to check out, and all of a sudden we get flanked by a woman, and she butts right in front of us. She's got six Big Freezes, Slurpees, whatever, and she butts right in front of us. And mm-hmm. at that point, I just said, I shook my head. I wasn't going to say anything. I wasn't going to say anything, but it was completely, we got completely butted in front of. And I just said, mm-hmm. This person, I took some deep breaths as we had to take some deep breaths throughout yesterday's heat. It was just, one more rhythm that we had to do. And I said, they mm-hmm. probably need those big thirst, those big, not big thirsty, that's the fire engine that goes through Hudson day in and day out.
Yes.
Those big freezes are probably going to save someone's life. And she had to butt in front of us. And that's that. Okay. I couldn't justify it. I couldn't justify reducing my rage any better than that. Just that the Slurpees were probably immediate kind of health.
Some people suffer from severe low blood pressure, Dan, so they just need a little dose of sugar.
Diabetes. So, and then, we just opened our Gatorades there, and we had some sips before we got to the counter, and then Worm began hitting on the girl and her tattoo. So that was the story. But Jimmy, I know, this is regional travel, I covered all the little hamlets and all the villages, and primarily Columbia County. Sometimes I cover Greene County, and but you know, it's still travel, Jimmy. And each little hamlet, each little village has its own character. Each township has its dynamics, and I have to say once again, we live in a beautiful place where we are in the Hudson Valley, and we have history to just complete diversity in this county. Okay, the other issue is that we killed a snake yesterday on the job site. The man he said he wasn't going to go back into his house if he saw that snake slither into the basement. The snake was slithering into the basement. He pointed out to Worm and I, and it was as if, you know, I don't know, another blockbuster 90s movie moment. Not quite Snakes on the Plane. That was
I was just thinking that. Did you pull, okay, so you, no Samuel L., but no, before that. Okay, I understand.
But
so are you trying to say you were a hero here, Dan? Because, you know, I mean, what kind of snake was it? Like a gardener snake or what? What was it?
No, it was not a gardener. It was not a milk snake. We have yet to identify it. It's either a banded water snake or a copperhead, which is venomous. Okay? Worm caught the snake with a shovel at its very tail as it was slithering into the basement.
Didn't get it like by its head, you know, that's what you're supposed to do.
And then he just completely put it away from that little creep nook that the snake was slithering into. It was about a 2 foot long snake, Jimmy. It was nasty. So he pinned it, and then he just glazed from that point where he pinned it outward, so it wouldn't be anywhere near that basement opening. And then we had three shovels, and I know that this is it's graphic. You know, I'm sure this is not people probably have to switch our station, but we went on, and we had to kill it. The man wanted it killed. And if it was venomous, we had to take care of it, Jimmy. And if not for Warren, if not for his courage, his bravery, his...
I can just see it's like the Three Stooges just swinging shovels at the ground. Oh, man.
Jimmy,
and I wish I was there.
At the end of it, the man paid $50 more because we took care of the snake. He was that happy and that relieved. And, you know,
it seems like instead of like Robin Hood, it seems like you're taking from the poor and giving to the rich yourselves.
No.
I thought this was going to start off as a hero story. Someone got bit by a snake. You rushed to their aid, put a tourniquet around whatever limb it was bitten, and rushed them to the hospital. But yeah, it's the Three Stooges who, you know, find a snake, you know, batter it with a shovel, and then take $50 from some guy for watching. You know, this is wow, Dan, wow.
I said, don't worry about the snake. He added it on. He said, I'm giving you this. He was a great guy, Jimmy. I can't argue with the man. He really was so happy. He said, we made his day. The neighbors were coming around. You know, it was a moment. And at the end of it, you know, Worm was, he was the hero. He was the, you know, epic figure. It was a fantastic, exclamation to the job. Jimmy, you don't understand. You often make that statement to me. I don't understand. But this could have been a venomous snake. We've yet to, entirely identify it, but, venomous is what it we believe it to have been. And you're saying that if we just let it go, it could have potentially done harm to a child or someone? Jimmy, are you there? Jimmy got disconnected from us. Hold on. We're going to call Jimmy back in. We're doing this via Skype. You're listening to Jimmy,
Dan.
Are you there? Yeah.
Yeah, I'm here. What happened?
I don't know. All of a sudden, I don't know if I, in front of me, my phone was flashing, and it was I thought it was the icon for Skype, but it was a cobra image that just kept on flashing. So I don't know. You got disconnected somewhere.
Are you sure you weren't bitten by the snake yesterday, Dan?
Yeah, right. Anyway, I thought you would find it, interesting. And at the end of it, the slogan became, it takes a worm to beat a snake.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Well, I'm happy to hear Worm's doing well, and you know, make sure you tell him I said hello next time you see him.
He mentioned you. It was the good old days were being remembered, and you got mentioned a few times. And Ralph was very happy to hear about you, and everyone was asking when you're coming home. It's just another day. It usually happens once a day. Your name comes up from one circle of people to another. It's just, how's Jimmy? When's Jimmy coming home?
Well, it's nice to be remembered. Unfortunately, I don't have any answers for anyone yet.
All right.
But
look,
soon, hopefully, in the next month or two, I hope.
I hope. Now, Jimmy.
At least for a little bit.
I want to make this travel related, as I think we veered off the sticking to that. However, this segue is, have you experienced any... you're in a somewhat venomous by way of creatures in Southeast Asia, an environment that does have well-known venomous creatures. Have you encountered any? I know that, you are not necessarily going into the depths of the countrysides where they might habitate, but do you have knowledge of it? Do you not go to the countryside because you could come across a cobra? What's the situation, Jimmy?
Yeah, no, I have actually, I've seen several snakes when I was in Singapore. I've not seen any yet in Bangkok, probably because it's more of a city. But when I was in Singapore, even around our office, we had a big cobra there once.
What?
Absolutely.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's a whole bunch of black cobras and everything in Singapore, which is actually why I brought up to our safety officer, hey, what if anyone's ever been? What is the procedure to, get some kind of anti-venom or whatever, we need to get? And they said, that's a really good question. And then they looked into it because they were, oh, wow, that's actually why is there nothing in place here? Especially because we live, my company was way out outside of the city, so it's actually more of the jungle, which most people, even Singaporeans, when they come visit our site, they're like, oh, I didn't even know there was a place like this jungle-esque in Singapore. They didn't know.
Wow.
So we've seen that. I've had big pythons. We've seen just in the premises of our place. I just go see it. We call the there's a company that would come and deal with them. But there was a couple times I saw this thing very up close. I forget what it's called, but I think it's very much like a tree snake, and this is like a very thin snake, and they climb, and they're not poisonous or anything, but what they can actually do, and you can actually Google a video on them, or YouTube a video, they can, and they'll climb up a tree, and they can actually jump from the tree, and they can be so thin that they can glide through the air.
Really?
Yes, you can watch videos. I mean, it's like they're flying almost. It's like they can fly. I mean, just imagine, So when I would walk out, sometimes I'd look up at the trees, just waiting to get bam, right in the neck, just get bit.
Oh my goodness! So that was like snakes on a plane.
Exactly. No, I mean it was probably even worse because these things could actually, snakes on a plane. The things, they didn't even fly. This snake actually can fly.
Oh my goodness!
No, just it wasn't venomous or anything. So all you're gonna do is get bitten. But, I've seen a couple of them really close because we would get really up close. And every time the snake guy comes to remove a snake from our premises, he'll tell us all about the snake, show it to us up close. Not if it's a venomous one, then it's, kind of from a distance. But they're very excited to tell us all about it and things. We all go down.
That is exciting.
And, yeah.
Huh.
We don't bash it with shovels or anything, but maybe a little more humane on this side of the world.
Yeah, yeah. So, what is the repercussion of a cobra's bite? What happens?
I mean, I think it depends on how much poison gets in you and where, but know, in Singapore, I mean, they recommend if you are bitten by a cobra, depending on where you're bitten. So if it's like an arm or leg, you should pretty much reapply a tourniquet almost immediately and try to get to a hospital as soon as possible.
Holy jeez. And you have to be aware where to put that tourniquet, you know.
No one told me that. I just watch a lot of movies where they've, you know, people have blown off their legs and stuff, so I just figured it's above the wound. Or depending on how long I have, you know, the farther up, depending on how long it's taking me to get my belt off.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a task these days. You know, the bigger I get, the harder it is to take that belt off. So, you know, it's,
if not for the humidity, you might be even bigger than you are.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You're right.
Be careful, very Jimmy. Be careful. We can't, you know, you have to. I know that you're not.
Right.
Hey, I know that you're not too big.
Being the correspondent in the field that I am, you know, we don't need WGXC paying for two seats on a plane for me. Not that they pay for one seat, but I'm just saying, you know.
Okay. All right. By the way, you are listening to WGXC 90.7 FM Acre. This is now Boarding the Travel Show with Jim and Dan. Jimmy, I'd like to turn to another subject, of which it is a bit, it's affected our lives, albeit.
And Dan, also, I do have something I do want, again, the story of me cycling through the jungles and the tribal lands of Thailand.
Oh, my goodness.
At some point. Okay. Yeah, no, I wasn't kidding.
We're going to get to that. That's going to be our culmination, okay?
Sure.
Okay, people are very excited right now, okay? All right? So we captured them with snakes, and now you're just you're upping it, Jimmy.
Yeah, I just want to make sure before you turn it into a subject where they all turn off the radio that I get to save my
water. Oh, no, we're going to save it. We're going to save it. And you know what? I think people are tuning back into us because you know, they don't hear who once was a great figure for us, who is not now, at least on this show. And that is the Golden Voice. I think people need a little break away from him.
Yeah, I mean, my understanding is Poland's out of the World Cup, and he's just been drinking ever since, like a belligerent hooligan. God only knows, I don't even know if it's in Hawaii. If he, you know, who knows? Hopefully he's safe and okay. But
yeah
I've not heard from
him. That's okay.
At all.
Let him rest. Let him take a break. He was very tired last episode. He performed so well. We just have to make that known. And let's not talk about him anymore this episode. How's that?
Fair enough. That works for me.
All right. Jimmy, we never met the man, but he certainly had some inspiration in the realm of travel for both of us. And he was quite...
Are we talking about the one and only Anthony Bourdain?
Yes, Jimmy. Yes, yes. And we didn't cover it last episode.
We didn't get to talk about it last show. You're right,
it's, I don't like to hit upon, you know, pop culture so much, although people would argue that we only are, products, you and I, of pop culture, but that's okay. I believe that you offer something entirely more than that, Jimmy, and you've expressed that. I've interpreted it in your expressions. However, I do have to side with him a little. You are a little product of pop culture. But this is the man, Anthony Bourdain, was definitely an iconic figure in travel. Arguably one of the most recognizable travelers of our time, I have to say. And he certainly had an effect on people traveling and people exploring, as well as... you know, revealing to many people as his charm was, as his putting himself amidst different cultures was, he had an effect, and it's sad what had occurred.
Very sad, Dan. I have to say, you know, it's absolutely, you know, it was very weird for me because, you know, when I found out about it, you know, literally it was... it was a chat group I had with the U.S. They sent, another one killed themselves. I can't believe Anthony Bourdain. I'm like, what? I literally just landed in Myanmar. Dan, there is no way I would have ever been in Myanmar if it wasn't for Anthony Bourdain, Parts Unknown. The first episode, first season, his first ever show of Parts Unknown was Myanmar and Yangon, and I would never have ever been there if I wasn't watching the show. So I literally get to the hotel, just get back on Wi-Fi, and I see this message from the chat group I have in the U.S. that, you know, they were referring to Kate Spade prior, mm-hmm. which, you know, hey, in my opinion, when I heard Kate Spade, oh, another one bites the dust. Yeah, I didn't care, just to be frank. And then I hear Anthony Bourdain. I'm like, what? I mean, I felt like in my stomach, I could really feel. I'm like, no. I immediately went checking websites, hoping that it wasn't true. And, you know, knowing that I just landed at a place I never, ever would have been, and I promise you, I never, ever would have been if it wasn't for that man. So, you know, yeah. I don't buy into buy into the pop culture. I think I am pretty minimal at it. You don't see me on Facebook, social media. Yeah, I used to get into it, you know, when I was younger, but now it's very rare. It's more just to keep my friends and family updated. Mm-hmm. But, you know, when I saw that, I have to be honest, Dan, I think it's fair to say I was very disturbed I was sad.
Yeah, yeah.
I was sad. No celebrity has ever affected me in the way that Anthony Bourdain's passing has affected me.
I've spoken to other people, and it's almost always the same response and feeling that, that people have, as well as you and me, is that it was almost as if you had lost someone you knew, a friend, you know?
Then I have to be honest, I don't know if I'd be where I am today. If, you know, obviously there are many people who were involved in my, you know, moving to Asia. You're one of them. But Anthony Bourdain, I have to say, I think he was one too. You know, I go back and look, you know, Singapore, one of the main reasons I chose to go there by myself was from watching his No Reservation show in Singapore. It's not, who knows where I would have been if it wasn't for him. I mean, I never thought of it like that. I never even gave him any, you know, contribution to me being there with, you know, you and a couple other people, but actually he is one of them too. It's just crazy. Very sad, and very unfortunate that someone can, you know, obviously he had his troubles, and, you know, I mean, they're well documented, but it's very sad.
I believe the man had been to about 80 countries, and his schedule, and this is to ask the reason why he did commit suicide, but and why people unfortunately go through with that. I believe, you know, his as I was reading, he had an exhausting schedule to keep. That he let's not mistake ourselves. He had contracted himself to be within his show and within this employ, but it was much like many jobs and how our time is entirely compromised. I believe he was 250 days out of the year filming, shooting something related, as he would be away from home for 250 days. That had to have been a contribution to not have that kind of
I mean, you think about it, the normal person, I believe, works over 200, just over, not much, but works over 250 days, counting holidays, everything else. So it's about the same. Yes, his life is televised and this and that, but he can always retire. He gets paid more than most. He has
that's
the
it.
Endorsement.
You know, probably that's up it. The that's too. It. And then it begs the question, okay, if he retired, is it a sense of narcissism that he had that no longer am I relevant? Is that what it is? Always, it's kind of sad, because I think he had an addictive person. He was someone who was impressionable to addiction.
And I have to be honest, Dan. I think he, you know, because I don't look favorably upon people who have committed suicide, but it's made me kind of think about it. I think some of these people, they just have a disease, and you're right, they are addicts. I think it's just there's something is wrong with their, you know, their connections in their mind, and, you know, whether it's depression. I mean, we all have bouts of depression in some aspect. Whether we get help for it or not is a different story.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think, you know, certain people just have these addictive personalities. Mm-hmm. I mean, I have to be honest, I think I'm one of them.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, I think it's just a disease where you'd actually, I would never, I mean, I, as of right now, I mean, I don't see myself ever wanting to kill myself. I don't know why I would ever do it. Maybe if I was going to go to prison for the rest of my life, then I'd probably consider. But, you know, Anthony Bourdain, for the most part, I mean, he had everything in front of him and a family, and he's doing what he loved. But you wonder, you know, maybe they're really beating the drum on him, and maybe he didn't love it anymore. Maybe what he started off as doing out of love, he ended up just doing out of, yeah, exactly.
You know?
Which would be very sad because, you know, his message was traveling. It'd be very sad if he really started to, you know, kind of digress.
Yeah, that. If that was the case, in hindsight, I wish someone had, you know, would argue to him and would let him know that it will never be old. You're going to, even if it's with the same people that you have, that are on your shows or who you have in conversation with, new subjects are always arising. If it be the same dishes that you have again and again, you can always have something new. But the stimulant was that it was different people, which would make it even more so never old, and different dishes that he was consuming and highlighting, which would make it never old. And he had a charisma that, you know, generally, even if that was targeted to a given generation, I don't think it was necessarily just stuck to being enjoyed by one given generation. I think it went beyond that. It was it would extend to other generations enjoying what his contributions are. And if that were the case, I don't know. But I think it perhaps, and we're just speculating, Jimmy, but as my girlfriend had asserted, and she had said, maybe he believed he was just not going to ever be as good as he as once he was, or it just was going to be, you know, he's never going to rise higher than he.
You know what I loved about Anthony Bourdain, Dan? You know what I loved about him is he's not much different than the average person.
Yeah, I don't think he had an air of.
He's not much different than me. Not much different than you.
No. I think people enjoyed him because you know, he was frank. He was honest. He enjoyed their company as well, and he was entertained by that.
I've heard many stories that if you walked up to him on the street, he was very accommodating, would talk to people and everything else.
Yeah.
Never turned someone away, things like this. So, it's a sad story, but it is what it is. And, you know, we can all learn from it. And it just goes to, you know, reiterate that if you have these kind of feelings, you know, go get help because you're not alone.
I think that's most important. The world can be extremely dark and extremely unforgiving, and it can seem like it's everyone and everything, and when we're at our darkest periods, is entirely distant, and they might believe that they're not important, but each person has an importance, and
indeed
it's indeed, not absolutely. You know, never compromise what the future is, or, you know, another breath of air can allow you for life. And, you know, everyone has their gifts, and, despite perhaps not, being acknowledged, despite not, being celebrated to a given extent, to not being the, central figures of, your environment, everyone has, gifts. And, you know, this is, I've heard it from the priest giving the homily. He's pointed this out a couple
upstairs
times.
Upstairs or different?
No, I'm not getting that, read from where I am below the church. not yet.
Open the gates, Dan. You're down under. Open them up.
Jimmy, as I was saying, the priest said that, each person, as psychologists or sociologists have studied individuals and groups respectively, there are categorically 35 different attributes, also considered as gifts, that people have in a given order, and it comes to the point where that amount of factor, 35, never would anyone have the same amount as anyone else for hundreds of millions of years. You couldn't identify that same two people having the same 35 different attributes and that order of their strengths or whatnot, also known as gifts. Not that everyone is led in a life of completely being guided and implementing their gifts. We know that people turn bad and there's different bad moments in our lives.
You are getting way too serious for our listeners. They're logging off right before I'm going to tell my story.
All right. So that's what I have to say. Okay, Jimmy, it was important because, you know, Anthony Bourdain, there's
people. May he rest in peace. May he travel well.
All right, let's go beyond Jimmy. Maybe we'll get into the World Cup. Maybe we'll get into the Tour de France. Maybe we'll get into baseball. I don't know. Hold on. We're a travel show. I think we have to stick to that. But you're listening to WGXC 90.7 FM Acra. This is Now Boarding the Travel Show with Jim and Dan. We don't have the golden voice with us. Jimmy, I want to say we are always looking for generous people, always looking for people who might really favor our show. Maybe they don't. Maybe they like other programs. But you can always contribute to WGXC, as we are a community station that does rely on community support by way of funding. And you can do that by calling the number 518-697-7400. That's 518-697-7400. Or a better way, if this is capacitated to you, would be wgxc.org/donate. Jimmy, that's wgxc.org/donate. Okay, I got that.
I'm logging on right now, Dan. I'm logging on right now. I'm going to make my difference.
Jimmy, absolutely. I want you to give a pitch. Please give a pitch, and then we are going to move on to your cycling through the jungle. Okay, what does the station mean? Why should people contribute? Why should you, be a year-long contributor? What is it that the radio does, and specifically this station, maybe specifically our program, and perhaps specifically you?
Yeah, I mean, you know, just to be really quite serious, you know, by donating to the radio station, you can support programming like Democracy Now!, the Now Boarding Travel Show, other shows, national and international news shows. Support us in providing you with local news coverage, interviews, live streams, etc. You know, keep the doors to our studio open. You know, why not? And, you know, again, you know, help us to, you know, maintain what we do. And we're here for you. You know, we're here for the listeners. You know, yes, you know, I have to be honest. You know, I love coming on every couple of Sundays to speak to you, Dan, as you're one of my best friends. But, you know, hey, you know, it's also to get our story out there and hopefully to encourage others and promote them to, you know, think outside the box and travel and, you know, learn more about themselves. So please keep us on the air. And as Dan said, you can donate now by going, you know, calling us or, you know, going to wgxc.org/donate. So keep us on the air.
Yeah, I agree, Jimmy. And I mean, we're passionate about traveling. I'm always excited when someone has traveled somewhere and to hear about where they've been, you know, and I love when we can incorporate guests and hear their stories. We have to do it more than we have, quite in the past. But what radio does, especially community radio, is that it allows the given stories and talents of the given community to really be put forth. And you know, it does have a community construction about it. You know, it really does tie together a community. Now, there's a lot of different programs on WGXC. And there's what I enjoy about our station is that we can have people from the greater community come in, as opposed to what might not be so readily available to a more conventional station on FM, where it's much more exclusive. We have a great extent of inclusivity here, and that's one of the great features of this station. However, how's it possible, Jimmy? How is it possible to have engagement throughout our community and, you know, have different people on that we might invite, or they might come to us and ask if they can have a contribution themselves? Because that is that's the beauty of life, is that you get what you give, and you have a more fulfilling life if you do give, you get more out of it. Okay, don't fall asleep. We're getting to your cycling episode, okay?
You're chasing my listeners. They're going to love this story. This is about not just me cycling. It's not just me picking and catching my own food. Okay. It's not just about me surviving without air conditioning. This is a story for you, Dan.
All right, but the only way that you can hear Jimmy's story is how, Jimmy? How can you hear future episodes of Jimmy in the Wild? How can you hear more about Jimmy?
First, you can hear this story by staying tuned and listening. To hear future stories to WGXC. To hear future stories, though, we do need some donations to keep us on the air, and you can donate now by going to www.wgxc.org/donate.
Okay, very good, Jimmy. All right, Jimmy, I'm going to give you the waves of the audience.
Yeah, I think it's just you and I now. I don't think there's any listeners anymore, but it's okay. I want to tell you this story as well. So, Dan, you know, last week we spoke with our good friend who's been becoming a regular on our show, although he's apparently sleeping today, or God only knows. But you know, as he mentioned, you know, he mentioned last week, you know, or 2 weeks ago, he went on this massive trip, a great trip for him, proposed to his now fiance, and everything was just going well. Well, then, you know, he was not the only one to propose to his girlfriend within that 2 week period, because, as you know, I also did.
Congratulations. So,
thank you. Wow. Thank you, Dan. I wasn't looking for your congratulations, but thank you. And you've already congratulated me, so I appreciate that. So, actually, in that two-week period, two of the three regulars on our show, was, you know, proposed to their girlfriends, but you haven't, but I'm not going to put you on the spot yet, but, you know, if Danae's listening, maybe she wants to, you know, put the iron to you. But anyway, so now that I proposed to my now fiancé, she did say yes. I know what's wrong with her. I asked her several times, but she said yes. So what we had to do last week is I actually went back and we visited. We went to her home village and, you know, I actually visited what I call her tribe.
What?
So, yeah, no. So she comes from a very small town in the northeast corner of Thailand.
Cultural approbation, jungle. I believe, is what you've done. Anyway, go ahead. Northeast Thailand.
What have I done?
Cultural approbation in one form or another. Anyway, go ahead. Go ahead.
Spoken from the, anyways. Yeah, so we went there. We took a about 11-hour bus ride to her hometown. And, you know, we met her father, picked us up from the bus stop. And then we went to his house. No air conditioning. Very much, you know, there were rooms inside, but everything was very much outdoors. Like, the kitchen was all outdoors. Very nice. Kind of like camping, I kind of think. But it was like really, really nice. I mean, the house was very proper. I mean, full, you know, the full amenities. You know, you had the second level, the top level, which was completely enclosed. The bottom level was quite open. You know, you could have, you know, either sliding glass doors, or it was just completely open where, you know, I asked if it was like that because there's a potential of flooding, and they said, yes, possible, but not likely where they're located, just more of the style of housing in that area. Mm-hmm. And then there was the kitchen, which was kind of outside because they're frying a lot of things. And they said the smoke, you know, it's just, why not do it outside? And it made sense. So, you know, the first night I was there, we actually went to the my fiance's father's farm. We picked all of our vegetable food that we were eating.
Did you really?
Yeah, absolutely. Either or earlier in the day, they caught some fish.
Oh, wow.
They also have some chicken there as well. And they actually, my fiance's father basically breeds frogs. We didn't have frogs till the second night, but anyway, so he basically, everything that was cooked and prepped was completely on our own doing. It was not bought from the store or anything.
Wow.
Which is the first time I've ever kind of experienced that. Then later that evening, I had to go sleep with no air conditioning here in the, you know, as I said, it's 90 degrees here now, so it's 90 degrees here then. Feeling wise, it was torture, but I was very, you know, I was able to get through it. Again, only, you know, yes, they have vehicles, but, you know, the only way to really, if you want to go somewhere after, you know, because we don't have a car, so we're basically riding bicycles everywhere we go throughout, like, the village and, oh, you know, picking up the store, this and that, and, and not. So, yeah, so it was really a wonderful experience. The second day I woke up and, you know, Patira got up, my fiance, she got up at, like, 5:30 in the morning, went out. They got a whole bunch of food, again, from just picking and what they were doing. They did pick up some rice noodles. That was from the store. They didn't prepare that. But they made a nice noodle dish for breakfast. We had that. Then we were going to go to the store. And at this point, all the elders from the tribe were around. So, like, her father, her grandmother's friends, they were all there to meet me. So, you know, then I'm going to, you know, I walk, because your shoe, typical in Asia, you take your shoes off before you walk anywhere, so the shoes are left by the door. So I went to go put my shoes on, and oh, wow, there's something in there. And I take my foot out, and, you know, I wiggle my shoe, and then there's this big block that comes. I'm like, what? Then I realize it's moving. Oh. I'm like, oh, what is this? It was just like this massive toad in my shoe.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
So, you know, I'm like, oh, cool, interesting. Look at this, you know. And all the elders are kind of laughing. So, you know, I just, you know, I didn't jump or anything. I was just kind of, I didn't know it was something moving when I put my foot in. So, to me, it wasn't a big deal. So, I just kind of put it, you know, walked over towards the woods and just, you know, shook it off, let it drop, and let it run away.
Yeah.
But I asked myself, you know, I wonder, you know, was, you know, did that toad just somehow hop into my shoe, or was that, like, the elders putting it in there? Was that like some kind of initiation for me to be initiated into the tribe? I don't know.
Jimmy, that's amazing. And I mean, I think that was more of a symbolic way of acceptance, as you're saying, that you've been accepted.
Exactly.
Into the, or it wasn't necessarily that they did that, but it was just a sign that now, you know, the consummation of your being, you know, into the tribal, accepted by them.
Now, yeah, no, I mean, again, I don't know if, you know, I it's still on. I did ask my fiance, you know, do you think this was kind of like a test or an initiation? And she just kind of laughed. So she didn't really say yes or no either. So, you know, it's still unknown, but it was a great experience. A lot of fun. We cooked our dinner that night. I saw the whole breeding process of frogs, which, you know a bit about my employment in the past, so, you know, it's kind of somewhat of a thing of interest. So, you know, I saw the way it was on was very interesting. And then we had frog the second night, and along with fish and a whole bunch of other stuff. It was great. I mean, the food was amazing.
Wow. Okay.
And that's all you had?
Who is that?
This is your tribal leader.
Is that the Mothman himself?
Jimmy, it was, I don't know what got him to come down to the station, but all of a sudden, yeah, we have Mr. Hudson in the studio with us.
Well, I was now, Mr. Hollowville a few minutes ago.
I have to be honest, if there's someone who can open the gates in that room right now, it is definitely the man who's on the other line.
Oh, man.
Whoa.
I didn't know you were allowed in a building of such sort, Mulf.
Well, I took him by surprise.
Jimmy.
You came in disguise. I like it.
Yeah.
I like it.
I you know, this is great because the Golden Voice was not on, and we're back to, you know, his contribution.
This is just the Platinum Voice.
Or the gray voice. Yes. Yep. Something like that.
Something like that.
So Moth, I have to say, I was actually thinking about you when I went to my fiance's home village and her tribe, because a lot of what they do on the South,
you have a fiance?
Do all these, like, yeah, I am engaged now. Yeah, as of 15 days ago.
Whoa. Yeah. Do you take her name?
Big stuff. What did you say?
Do you take her name?
No.
Okay.
Not quite. Oh. So, Mof, I was thinking about you because when I was there, a lot of what they do is they actually do, like, a lot of woodworking.
Okay.
Woodworking. No, woodworking. So they had these amazing, like, anything from furniture to, like, literally these sculptures of, like, animals just made out of, like, tree branches that looked so good.
Yeah, we do that here, too.
I know. I'm trying to come up with your...
You're trying to make, like, a business deal. Ideas. I can tell.
I'm like, cha-ching, 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 and, you know, yeah, Wolf just shuts me down. Okay, never mind then. I'll keep them for myself and so on.
Yeah, but ship over one of those 17th, 16th, 15th century houses that they have.
Hey, I should send you a picture, Mof. I don't have any of your contact information, but I have, and I'm not asking for it either, but I had this,
cool.
When I was at the tribe, they had this really old Singer refrigerator. I just thought of you again.
Oh, God. Okay.
I don't know if it's all, I mean, I don't know, you're the antique guy.
I'm more interested in the architecture and the tribalness of it all.
Yeah, well, maybe we'll fly you out.
Objects
sometime.
Are over with, hun. Nobody wants objects anymore.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Right, fair enough. Well, there. What do you think, Jimmy? Could Mulf land into Bangkok and you bring him to the village and he could? You think he would be accepted, or do you think would he be
the story of the town?
I'm
sure of it.
I thought everybody was accepted in Bangkok.
This is the village.
He actually is
tribal.
He actually is right, though. Everyone's pretty much accepted everywhere here. But it's one of the good things about Thailand. Mof would definitely be accepted for sure. Hey, Mof, by the way, do you still have the club in your third floor, is it?
The third floor is my bedroom. That's not a club. But on the second floor is the ballroom. Is that what you're referring to?
Yeah. Could I possibly rent it out, or for free in maybe a month's time?
I think we tried that once before, and it didn't end very well.
It didn't, but different girl, different circumstance.
No stilettos this time?
No stilettos. Don't worry about that.
Well, Jimmy, why don't we do that? I mean, or Mulf, why don't we do that?
We should. We should. That's what I'm saying.
You can make it a WGXC event.
Event,
show.
Yeah. Exactly. Everyone can come. Because
I would charge Jimmy.
$10 goes.
Yeah. No, but really, you've been so generous. Why don't you just continue being generous, Mulf?
That sounds great.
And
we'll make a WGXC event, fundraising event, and with now boarding.
Oh, this is fantastic. Jimmy, what a great way that, between you suggesting it, Mulf accepting it, and my sort of just...
being here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. We could have a tribal kind of ritual, I suppose. Maybe, you could reenact what you did with the toad, Jimmy. And that could be
with
one
the toad?
Mulf and I, let Mulf and I work on the details. Uh-oh. And Dan, you just show up.
I got the frog legs. I missed the toad.
Jimmy, was there anything else that happened that was very, very extreme? Or are you...
No, I mean, the toad initiation and, actually just me being... You know, it was basically kind of like camping, but it wasn't. It was a great experience. A lot of fun. I really got to know all about her family in the process, which was great, and also meet the rest of her village, which was nice.
Beautiful. Okay, we got less than a minute. Mulf, is there anything that you'd like to say?
Happy July.
Well,
Mulf, it's a pleasure, and please join us next show a little bit earlier in the show.
Yeah, I was chilling out in the creek. We've got close to 100 degrees here, so it's a warm one.
Yeah. Well, hey, let's hope that when Jimmy comes back, we do have this happening.
I like this.
And I mean, I think it would be great for the station. And, yeah, we'll raise some money, right, Jimmy?
Absolutely.
So you're definitely coming?
Yeah, it's just a matter of when. I have two job offers in front of me. I just have to pick one, and both will at least bring me back to the U.S. for a period of time.
Very good. Nice. All right, look, we got to go. Jimmy, I'll have you on the line. Everyone, thank